Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
No, Michael O'Regan, a very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Gerry. Sense of deja vu on your last item there, Gerry, if I may say so. I happened to be at a function in Temple Bar in Dublin quite recently. Left early in the evening. Quite honestly, the air was chilling. If you talk about people like myself going around is one thing. What about tourists? It makes you cringe, really.
Yeah, yeah. Simon Harris, the temporary minister, and Helen McAtee, when she comes back, have their work cut out for them on this issue, I'd say.
They have, yeah. And, fair play to Charlie Hoy on Temple Bar. It was, Bertie might have described it as the West Bank. Charlie had in mind that it would be the left bank. Mm. People sipping wine in the late evening and enjoying themselves and all that kind of thing. A great place for tourists. Bear in mind, Jerry, it was to be a bus depot at one stage, believe it or not. The idea was great. It seemed to work early on, but now you have a critical area of central Dublin, particularly attractive, I would have thought, to young people and tourists. And it's rapidly becoming a no-go area. And, of course, that problem manifesting itself in other towns around the country in different ways.
Yeah, certainly is. Michael, the price of everything in relation to, I suppose, everything across the board, the cost of living to the main four and to the focus. Before we talk about what happened this week with Minister Neil Richmond and his big showpiece event of bringing in the supermarkets to tell them what's what, here's the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, speaking on the Tonight Show on Virgin Media Television with Ciara Doherty last night on this very issue.
Do you think people are being, consumers in Ireland are being ripped off a bit?
I think there is evidence of profiteering. The reason why prices have gone up is manifold. It's the war in Ukraine. It's the snapback in demand after the pandemic. Interest rates going up. There's lots of different reasons. But, you know, the evidence is there. Even the European Central Bank says it, that there are some companies that are recording bumper profits. And that is profiteering, in my view. So when it comes to energy companies, we're hitting them with windfall taxes and special dividends. We'll use that money to give back to people to help with their electricity bills, small business as well. And when it comes to the grocery sector, we're engaging with them on that now. But we expect to see prices come down. But one thing I think we probably will see, and it is important to be honest with people about this, when you have a period of inflation, what tends to happen is prices level off and maybe fall back a bit, but they never go back to where they were. You know, over time, prices rise. And that is why it's important that wages go up, that pensions go up, that welfare goes up as well, and that people pay less income tax. And that's what we did in the last budget, and that's what we're working towards in the next budget as well.
There you go. That's the Taoiseach speaking about the cost of living. Profiteering going on, promising to talk tough. And was there a lot of promising done this week, Michael? Was it a little bit of a photo op from Neil Richmond, bringing the supermarkets in at the same time some of the major players saying, yeah, we'll take 10 cent off the price of bread?
Yeah, we know in a few weeks, Jerry, whether it was just hot air and a photo op, as you say, or whether there's any substance to it. Now, so far from what we're getting from the government is a lot of talk, not least in that interview the Varadkar gave to Virgin Media. Neil Richmond, he's the Minister of State with responsibility in that area. He met the retail forum during the week. That meeting, by the way, was brought forward from June to this week because of what is now really a crisis in many ways. Everyone who goes into a supermarket realizes that prices in some cases have gone through the roof. Inflation around 6%, food inflation close to 13%, and every household in the country is affected by this. But Mr. Richmond said afterwards that the meeting was open and frank. Fair enough. We wouldn't have expected any less. But there's an element, Jerry, of PR from the government on this. Mm. Simon Coveney, for instance, saying the sector is not doing enough. On the other hand, the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission, the CCPC as they're known, they've said to the government there's no point in introducing price controls. They're not effective. They've been tried elsewhere, and they haven't been effective. But Simon Coveney has said that he will draw up a series of measures to deal with this. Well, we await what he has to say.
Yeah, it's interesting to talk about wading in there and making private companies put down their prices, but it's a very difficult thing to do in reality, Michael. So I suppose we'll see where that one goes. I don't know, Michael, if the GAA are going to bring down their prices in relation to GAA Go, but it's been some week and the politics wading into it straight away. Micheál Martin, very early on in the controversy over high quality games behind this paywall and talks of digital exclusion, basically saying the GAA got it wrong. He was very quick out of the traps on that one, wasn't he?
He was very quick out of the traps indeed, and unequivocally in what he had to say. And fair play to him, you know, his son is involved in intercounty, is an intercounty player. His brother, to the best of my knowledge, is involved with the GAA in Cork, and you know, he's a big GAA follower himself. And of course, he's right in this story. And indeed, it came up as well at the weekly meeting of the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting, where a lot of rank and file TDs were annoyed about it. This is shocking, Jerry, in many respects. The GAA is an amateur organisation at its core. It is the national game at the end of the day. It's they've always, at least they had anyway, a strong affinity with the grassroots. Now they're fumbling in a greasy till, I think, on this. I don't blame RTE. RTE in there, in a commercial world where they have to deal with commercial realities, the GAA is at fault there, and it's the people at headquarters. It'll be interesting to see what happens when the Oireachtas Media and Sport Committee, they've broadened their remit on this. They're going to bring in broadcasters and sports bodies to talk generally about the matter. I was watching what the GAA had to say. A very carefully worded statement. They promised a comprehensive review of its operation at the season's end. But I don't know about you, Jerry, but for the Kerry Mayo game, I will be relying on the Radio Kerry commentary and Tim and Ambrose.
None better, Michael. None better.
None better. I absolutely agree with you. Regular listener to them, their broadcasts, and you know, while you won't be able to see what's happening, I think mentally you will be able to see it, because Tim and Ambrose do such a good job.
Yeah, indeed. Michael, stay with us on the line. We're going to talk more on Cork from the Dáil. Get your views and comments in on the Dáil Week. Anything you want to put to Michael O'Regan?
Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
Now, Michael, one of the issues that has been plaguing this government since its inception, and the one before it as well, has been the problem of homelessness, the problem of soaring rents, the problems of ability to be able to afford a home for people starting out in their lives. And a new issue reared its head this week in the story of older people who are renting. We hear from the Irish Property Owners Association this morning, a member of them saying, look, the reason why landlords are going for younger, more transient professional people and others is because of new rules that are coming in strengthening tenancy rights.
Yes, sorry, this was an interesting development, because quite honestly, I think, let's face it, all of us, well, most of us anyway, unless we knew somebody directly involved, had forgotten about the plight of older people who are renting. And the figures are quite interesting, actually. 20% of people aged 55 rent privately. That's a big number. In the case of people aged 65, it's 14%. And incredibly, 10% of people aged 85 and over rent privately. Now, the prospect of somebody in their 80s renting privately at the moment doesn't bear thinking about. Mm. But this was highlighted in the case of Micheline Walsh, the woman in her 70s, her husband, who's quite ill. She's effectively a carer. She's facing eviction, and she can't find anywhere to rent, you know, within her financial capability. And she's an interesting case, because she was lucky enough to have her son-in-law, whom I happened coincidentally to know, actually. David Farrell, he would know how the media works and all that kind of thing. So her case was highlighted. But side by side with this, yesterday we had a report from Malone. Which is quite interesting. Threshold and Alone, actually, both organisations. And the chief Sean Moynihan, the chief executive of Alone, has warned that there will be homeless hubs for older people if something is not done about it. But again, Jerry, we get a lot of statistics and all this from the government. I don't understand what the government is doing, really, in relation to aspects of homelessness. And I'll give you one small example. Over the years, I've been driving past the old Baggot Street Hospital in Dublin.
Yeah.
Central Dublin. It's a lovely old building, should be retained and all that kind of thing. Now, the government says that that building would take too much time and too much money to turn into a place.
Do you know what, Michael? You can say the same thing, exactly the same story, with St Finian's here in Killarney. Standing there, nothing happening, crying out for housing in Killarney, and another thing, no state body willing to step in and do the work it that requires to get it up running, or to sell it, or to do something with it. Same story.
Absolutely. It's extraordinary, Jerry. And, you know, it's... They are buildings with a roof, with walls. Wouldn't it be much better for those people who are now sleeping rough, you know, to be at least indoors? And in fact, when the Baggot Street Hospital issue came up, RTE featured an architect who said it's very possible to turn it into a place for the homeless.
Yeah.
So I agree with your point. And of course, the Killarney case, equally valid.
Yeah, Michael McGrath, speaking to all the speak about, saying we'll move heaven and earth to house people. The answer is to build more houses. But there's another question here, and this is the politically difficult one, in relation to older people and renting. Are we going to switch, and this is what's been promised by the opposition parties, including Sinn Féin, increased rights for tenancy, an overhaul of the tenant-landlord relationship, moving it towards the European style of lifelong renting with very strong rights. Are we ready for that? Or politically, is the government of the moment ready to bring that sort of a thing? Is, I would suggest they probably aren't. They're focusing solely on housing. But is the Irish market, the private rental market, which is seeing landlords leave, ready for a radical change where you might own a building, but you'll be kept renting it to people forever, effectively, as what happens in Europe?
Yeah, they should be, but they're not. And I agree with you. I don't think politically any government is going to move on that yet anyway. But
it's being promised by the opposition, Michael. It's being promised by the opposition.
It has, Jerry. I agree with you, but I'm around too long, Jerry, I'm afraid, to take promises made in the glory of opposition. They frequently don't manifest themselves in decisions made in government. But maybe I'm unfair to the current opposition.
Mm.
But that's the way we're going. There's a history of house owning in this country, accommodation owning, whether it's a house or an apartment, whatever. And we're moving on from that now. But it's something we should look at. But I don't see the current, certainly at the moment, the current government looking at it. I think they would be afraid politically of it.
Okay. Michael, the other issue that they have, and it's not a bad problem to have, what are we going to do with all the money? €65 billion in budget surpluses between now and 2025. Any truth to the rumour that you're going to buy a yacht for the Kegsit administration and patrol the West Kerry coastline?
I have been looking at one, Jerry, and I'm very impressed by it. The state is going to fund me going around various places around the world to look at a good yacht. You'll be my guest on it, I can tell you, off Kenmare. By the way, Jerry, I have very good news for you. Personally, that busking you do in Kenmare on Saturday afternoons to raise money to pay off the national debt, you can give it up for the moment. Because
thank God.
65, indeed. I mean, I've heard stories of you busking in the rain, Jerry, just to raise money to pay off your section of the national debt. A lot of us are not doing anything in that front. But we've €65 billion, a lot of money, and the Minister of Finance, Michael McGrath, came to the government during the week, and he says that it's blindingly obvious that we should put that money, or a significant amount of that money, aside for long-term use. Because, not least, given what we were talking about earlier, we'll have an ageing population over the coming years, and they're going to have to be catered for. But it's an interesting development politically. Remember, Jerry, when we had money before?
Mm.
We had a lot of money one time before the crash, and Europe said to us, you can't go on increasing public expenditure
and cutting taxes. Yeah.
Yeah, and Charlie McCreevy says, when I have it, I'll spend it.
yeah, indeed. Well, Michael, in fairness to the government, this government and the other governments before it, I'll take you back 10 years. Like, there was headlines in the Financial Times yesterday. Ireland to propose the creation of sovereign wealth fund. Government forecast surplus will reach 10 billion this year and more than 16 billion in 2024. I'll take it back 10 years. Did we ever think, at the worst of the crash, that there would ever be a headline like that about Ireland again? To give the last couple, and there's plenty of criticism for mistakes made and the housing problem not sorted, but something was done right, surely, to have us in this envious position. I'd say the English are looking at us going, they're setting up a sovereign wealth fund in Ireland, they're managing their finances so well.
That's a fair point on one level, I think, Gerry. And it's a long way from, if you remember, I think it was The Economist that had us as an economic basket case back in the day. But that's a fair point. We've also been lucky, of course. We're getting a limited number of companies, and that won't necessarily go on. But I take your point. You know, kudos to the government for this. The problem is, side by side with all that, you have to look at that money and see to what degree you spend some of it on the crisis in housing, which has largely been bad planning. The mess that is the cost of living, the government said they'll sort it out in a matter of weeks. We'll see about that. The crisis in the health service.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of TDs, a lot of rank and file backbenchers want the government to take some of that money and put it into...
Isn't that the debate, Michael? Isn't that the ultimate test here? You talked about when I have it, I spend it, and you talked about what we've done in the past. Now, prudence and caution are the watchwords because of the scalding experience of the financial crash when we completely eroded our tax base. Now, Michael McGrath is saying, I'm planning for the future. I'm going to make sure we have enough money to pay our pensions. I'm going to set up a sovereign wealth fund to make sure we have enough money to meet the cost that we know will be there. In the past, short-termism dominated. Spend it right now, and sure, that's a problem for a future government, and the taxpayer and everyone else suffered as a result of it. Now they're putting in place, and Michael McGrath won't be around to spend this money in 10 years' time, probably. So is that a sea change? Or am I being overly optimistic? Are we going to see a splurge in spending in the next year and a half ahead of an election to try and buy it?
I don't think we'll have a splurge, Gerry. No, I think we will have some. We'll have fairly benign budgets, I think. But no, I don't think we'll have a surge. And I'll tell you why. I would have confidence in McGrath and Pascal Donohoe on this one, the previous minister. And I think they're looking back at what happened in the past when money was spent to buy votes. I well recall the evening of an Ardesh where Bertie, there was a delay in getting the script of the Fianna Fáil leader, the then Taoiseach Bertie Ahern, because some of it was rewritten to make promises so that Fianna Fáil would get a third term in office. And remember the way the money was wasted on things like e-voting machines, you had public servants bought with benchmarking, no justification for it. The key, of course, to all of it is not to spend the money on something that would require long-term funding. It's so from that point of view, that's even more critical. But I do think in this instance, Gerry, that there's some bit of reason, strange as it may come to some of our listeners, I do think there's some bit of reason and cop on at the moment in government buildings based on, you know, the tragedy of the economic crash in the past.
Interesting stuff, Michael. We'll see where it goes from there. Good luck with planning the yacht, and I look forward to seeing it off Kenmare in time to come, Michael. Have a good one, and thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Jerry.